If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, 85th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Did I do that? No, I didn't. That bottle fell over, and I thought, I hope I didn't do that. But I'm going to be preaching today on Revive Us, Lord. I believe we are in a time of our life where we desperately need revival in America, especially around the world. And when you get to the scripture, Psalm 85, 1 through 8, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, please, as I read from God's Word. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, today to send us revival. Lord, our nation and this entire world is in such a state right now of there is darkness and there is sin and evil running rampant, but God, you're still in control. And we're asking you this morning, Lord, to answer from heaven, and we're asking you to fill us with revival. If it has to start here at Bosque Dell Baptist Church and spread throughout Jackson County and the surrounding areas, then let it be, Lord. But revive us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with the joy of thy salvation. And Lord God, let our cups run over. And Lord God, today as I preach this message, let every word come from you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, and nothing of my thoughts or my own words. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen. Like I said last week, as I was watching some of the news headlines and just listening to people talk, I even heard Christians speaking as if they have no hope anymore, as they have lost sight of their true joy. People are asking, well, why are the things going on that's going on in the world? Why are churches shutting down? Why are people seeming to turn away from the Lord? And why are churches giving in to the ways of the world to please the cultures and things that's going on today? And the simple answer is, we are a people, Christian people, who are turning away from God, or who are not looking to the Lord as we once did. When I think back to how things were when I was a child, revival was a big thing in the church. We had revival, and revival started Sunday morning, and it went to Sunday night, and Monday through Friday evening, revival service, and we either had, you know, a different speaker each night, or we had the same evangelist who would come that night. And I'm telling you what, the church house would be filled every night. People were excited after a few nights of revival, and there would be a fellowship every night, and people would bring food, and you would see smiles. And the next Sunday, the church house would be filled and people were excited. But then over time, the excitement would start to wane and people just seemed to go back to the way things used to be before revival. And now, if we have revival in the church at all, revival will happen maybe on Sunday, and they may do it Monday night or a Tuesday night, or they may do it Saturday and Sunday. And it's not what it used to be. Janine and I have been to some revivals that we were invited to, and they lasted just a couple nights. And then I'm hearing from church people, well, there's not been any change. Then you have to wonder, well, when we seek revival, are we doing it ourselves, to please us? Or are we truly seeking God for revival? And that's where revival comes from. First of all, we need to be revived. God is still in the reviving business, and God is the source of it. When you have a revival service, I can remember so many times that there would be a special singer up there leading the music, and people would just get so enthralled with the way whoever it was would sing. And after service was over, people are talking about, man, did you hear that beautiful voice? Well, I want to tell you this morning that revival doesn't come from the singers of the revival service. And it doesn't come from the evangelist. A lot of times people get so hung up on a preacher. And I wonder what if that's a lot, and I know that's a lot of some people's choice. When they go to church, they get hung on a preacher and their life gets fixated on that preacher. And they don't put their eyes fully on the Lord, but they're looking to those people to give them the joy, to give them the drive, to give them the purpose that they were there at church for. And I want you to know this morning that we have to get our eyes off of the people in the church. Because number one, I'm not perfect. Any music leader is not perfect. And the people in the church are not perfect. Why? Because we still have sin in our bodies, even though we have been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We still have a sin nature, and we will still fail, but we are now covered with the righteousness of God through, or the righteousness of Jesus through God the Father. So we have to get our eyes off of the people in the church, and we got to put our eyes back on God. We have to say, God, I need you desperately in my life. I can't make it without you. And I'm telling you what, these last few days, I've been finding myself saying that. You know, I believe that this happening in my life is the Lord saying, are you going to cling to me more? Are you going to look to me for strength? Are you going to look to me to provide for your needs? See, I love my mom, but I can't love my mom more than I love God. I've got to let God know every day how much I need Him. You know, Janine was, she went shopping last week and bought flowers and stuff to put in pots around the house. And the other evening, she planted her flowers, a lot of them, and she said, look at them. They don't look good. They look a little lifeless. They need good water. Well, I knew what that meant. It meant, Jim, get the hose, turn the water on, and water my plant. That's just, you know, wives have a wonderful way of getting the message across in a few short words. God bless our wives and God bless women. So I got the hose out, and I mean, I gave all those flowers a good drink of water. And about 2 hours later, we were looking out the patio door, and Janine says, would you look at the flowers? They're standing up and they're perked up now. She said, thank you for watering those for me. I said, hey, you're welcome. And boy, that really brought out a good point for this message today. The flowers weren't receiving what they needed to be at their fullest potential. And we as God's people, if we're not being filled with the Word, if we're not living a relationship with the Lord, that we're looking to Him daily, then we're not going to be to our fullest potential as God's people. See, flowers, we look at them for their beauty. We smell them for the beautiful fragrance that they have, and we like to admire. And it makes our homes look nice when we have them. And you know what? If we didn't water the flowers, they would die. And people, if we don't take care of our lives, if we don't give our hearts to the Lord daily, and if we don't serve Him with a glad heart, and if we don't come to church and seek Him with everything, then you know what's going to happen to us? We're the salt of the earth, and we're going to lose our flavor, and we will die spiritually, and then we will have lost our effectiveness. And that's not what God wants for us. God doesn't want us to lose our purpose that He put us here for. We cannot get stagnant as a church. You know, a lot of churches that I have been into, I tell you what, I would watch people sing and worship, and boy, they'd be smiling, and you'd see people raise their hands while they're singing, and that's all right. I always ask people, just don't grab hold of the ceiling fixtures and spin around on them. I'm just kidding. But, you know, to see the joy that comes naturally from within us because of what the Lord is doing in our life, that's something that will keep going on and going on. As we were driving yesterday, we passed by a church, and when I was pastoring up in Benton, before I moved to the parsonage, I would drive to that by that church every day on the highway, and there would always be cars out there, and there were service times. Yesterday, we went by there, and the sign was blank, and the building looked like it's not been worshiped in. And I'm seeing more and more of this, hearing from the associational leaders in Williamson County or Franklin County, wherever, churches are being shut down because people are not attending and people are not giving to the Lord their own heart and life. And then guess what happens? Satan, he throws these sinful weeds out there. He wants to snuff out churches. And if he can get us to quit having revival, if he can get us to quit doing what God called us to do, guess what? Then he'll have another church with the door shut and the sign vacant. That broke my heart to see that church sitting like that. Then we went up the road just a little ways, and there's another church just on the left-hand side. And as I was driving, something just caught my attention. I saw a tractor out there. Well, I had my attention. I glanced over, and I saw a bunch of cars parked, and they were building something. I don't know what it was, but there was a bunch of people out there, and they were all working together. And I thought, praise the Lord, there is a church family right there working together. Don't know what it was, like I said, but they were working together. And I've actually heard about that church, the things that God's doing there. But we have got to turn to God for the source of our revival. We cannot plan a revival and then say, okay, God, we're having revival here. We want you to show up. You know what we have to do for revival? We have to pray, and we have to diligently seek the Lord, and we have to ask God, when do you want us to have revival? When do you want us to do? Who do you want to come and speak? And who do you want to come and lead our special music. If we would turn to God and ask Him first, God will put everything in order and God will give you the time for revival. And when we have revival and we know that God has been at the head of it all, God is going to move in such mighty ways. And right now in our world, Christians stand in need of revival. And we know that we are in need of revival when the fires are burning low in our life and when the brook is running dry. Basically, when we're feeling like dried up. When we've gotten to a place of complacency and we think, well, things are good like they are, we'll just keep going this trek and we'll be all right. Well, that's not good enough. God wants our best. God wants us to give everything that we have. God wants us to take the talents and abilities and use them for His glory. God doesn't want our churches to die. God wants our churches to grow, and God wants things to happen. And we can no longer stand back and let the things go on that have been going on. I've said this many times, and I'll continue to preach it. This house that we gather in is not only for us Christian people, but it's for the prostitute, it's for the drug dealer, it's for the one who's a drunk, it's for the murderer, the thief. This house should be open to every walk of life, whether they got tattoos or whatever they call them things in their nose, it doesn't matter. I don't judge people upon their appearance, and I don't judge people by their lifestyle. But what I have to do is I have to look at the heart and say, there's a possibility right there that God could change that life. And the one thing I want to do is reach out to them and let them know that they are loved and that they are welcome to come into the Lord's house. If we will be that kind of people, then we know that the fire will never go out and will never dry up as a church. We will see revival fires burning constantly within the Lord's house. Revival should be happening every Sunday that we get together in the house of the Lord. And what I said earlier when I prayed, I said, Lord, we come into your house today seeking to receive from you. But not only should we seek to receive from the Lord, we should seek to give to the Lord our best, to give Him everything that He's put inside of us so that He can work in our life and use us. I sure wish we could have been here for the yard sale. But like I said, there's so much going on, you know, but every time that yard sale is set up out there, people are being ministered to. When people go into Life Orchards, they're being ministered to. When you go, getting this Mr. Haney thing this morning. When you go to the store, when you go to church, when you go anywhere, when you step next door to your neighbor's house, you are having revival. If you are doing it for the Lord, if you are being a witness. When those seeds have been planted, we have got to let God take care of nurturing those seeds and letting them take hold and grow. Our churches are nowhere near being filled like they used to be. When I was a kid, we'd go to church. Everybody had their seat, and you'd, of course, you never dared take anybody's seat. You'd get chucked out on your hind end. No, I don't think anybody ever be that mean. But, you know, we'd go to church and we knew who was there because they was always in the same place. And you always knew if you saw somebody different, you better go up and welcome them to church. And people were excited. We used to have weekly visitation where on Thursday night, there would be about 8 to 10 people would show up And we would go church-wide visitation. And I think I told you this before. As a young man, I wasn't saved yet, but I loved the whole aspect of it. I wanted to know what it was all about. I'm surprised I didn't get saved during that time. But I watched people go and reach out to those who were needing the love of the Lord. And these people would start coming to church. And even during, now after I got saved, when there was revival happening, I would go with pastor and the evangelist, and we would go to people's homes, and they would come to church, and we would see people getting saved. We would see the baptistry being filled and being used weekly. And that's what God is wanting today. We have got to say, enough is enough. I'm tired of things being the way that they are. I don't want my church to continue to go like it is. I want to see the seats filled. That's what our prayer should be. But we don't want the seats filled just to have the numbers. We want to have the seats filled because there's people that are hungry. There's people that are needing the love of the Lord. There's people who need ministered to. And you know who the best witness is for that? Right here. I remember watching my grandpa as he pastored churches. I used to think it was his job all the time to do everything. You people come to church and he did it all. And boy, I sure learned a lesson that everybody in the church had a role. Everybody in the body of Christ has a role. We have all been given spiritual gifts. We've all been given talents and abilities, and that's what God wants us to use for His glory. And I would see the deacons go with my grandfather and visit people. They would go to the nursing homes, whatever it was. And in some way, what they were doing would spread throughout families and other churches. And my grandpa's churches were always filled to capacity. They were. And my grandfather was always baptizing people. And I always loved to see people standing to their feet and singing the praises of the Lord. We are desperately in need of revival when we as Christians start seeing other things more important than we see Jesus as being important. You know, I'm guilty of this. I've put so many things before the Lord at times in ministry. I've come to the Lord begging Him in prayer. God, You've got to do this because we need it in the church. And I couldn't get an answer from the Lord. And then I would get aggravated and frustrated with the Lord. Then I'd say, well, I'm just not going to pray about that. If He ain't going to answer, I'm not going to pray about it. Have a five-year-old temper tantrum about. And the Lord is saying, you're not praying according to My will. You're not listening to Me. And the Lord said, you're putting this thing, you're putting that situation, you're putting money, you're putting everything else in front of Me, your family, your car, your whatever. You're putting these things in front of Me. And you know what God told us? God has told us He's a jealous God. And do you know that if we make other things more important than God, we're making those things an idol? It's truth. This guy right here has definitely made things an idol. And you know what sometimes becomes an idol? I get so wrapped up in what comes across that sometimes, the messages or the whatever, Facebook, something. And sometimes I find myself on there and then I'm going, I haven't read my Bible yet. And I take that thing and set it down. I don't want it around. And I have to tell the Lord, God, I'm sorry. I put that thing in front of You again. But everything that we keep putting in front of God, it's going to take more and more of our time away. And if these things start to take our time away from the Lord, then we're not going to grow. What we need to do in the church today is we need to say, God, this is Your church, us, the people. They're yours. And Father, they're very important to you. And Lord, let us get together and let us come to you in prayer. The things that go on in our churches, we have to give it to the Lord. If we want a church to grow, then Father, according to your will, send us to the places that you want us to visit. You know, when Jesus was in his ministry, Jesus, he followed the Father's will. He went to the places where he was supposed to go, and he did the things he was supposed to do. And why was that? Because he was our example. He is the sole reason of how we should be living and doing things. And everywhere Jesus went, what happened? People got saved. People were healed. People's lives were transformed and turned around. And I'm always loved the story of Zacchaeus. Little tax collector, you know, robbed from everybody, took more than he should have. But he heard Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see Jesus so bad that he climbed all the way up into a sycamore tree just to get a look at him. Because there was a part of him that desired Jesus. Now, do you know what? If a part of us would desire Jesus so much, guess what he could do in our life? Guess how he could move in your home? Guess how he could move in our church? So we need to say, Lord, this is your house. This is your church. Have it your way. Have it your way, Lord, not our way. I went into a church one time, and they wanted an interim pastor, and I went in there, and we prayed. I said, okay, we'll kind of do this. And we, Janine and I prayed. We did. We prayed, and we asked. But the folks in the church wanted their way. And things just started falling apart. And they hated us. They didn't like us because we wouldn't go their route. We wouldn't follow their way. And I wouldn't do the things they wanted me to do. And basically, they had a ministry plan, and I wasn't going to follow it. And they didn't like that. Well, we soon left after about 4 or 5 months. I told Janine, I said, you know what? I'm done. And I said, Lord, I pray for that church because those people need their eyes opened. We cannot do things our way and expect God to bless us and to lead us. We've got to come before the Lord, and we've got to come before Him humbly. And we've got to say, okay, Lord, this ain't none of me. It's you. I'm here because of you. I think I told you the story, and this is a true story. I had a church offer me a full-time position, and we prayed about it, and the door was open. That door was open. It was God. And we got in there. My first Sunday morning, I'd never expected this to happen. But the interim pastor come back there in the office, and boy, he was all mad and upset. I said, what's the matter, Bill? He says, you come out here and take care of this. I want you to tell him to leave right now. I said, what? What are you talking about, Bill? Well, come here. Well, we walked out from my office, and there was a little foyer from the side door, and the door going into the sanctuary had a window. And Bill said, look right out there. All I saw was people sitting, talking, having a good time. That's what I saw. And Bill said, you see them two back there? I said, yeah. He said, well, them two ladies back there said that they're married. And one says, she's a preacher. Get them out of here. I said, no, wait a minute, Bill. He said, I'm telling you, you get them out of here or I'm going to leave. He goes, and are you going to go take care of this or not? Well, I had a whole different thing going on up here and what he was saying. I said, you know what, Bill? I am going to go take care of this. I'm going to go in there right now. He said, good. I walked through that door, walked up the sanctuary, went to the very back row, and there sat those two ladies, and I said, "Good morning, ladies. How are you today?" "Well, we're fine." I said, "Where are you from?" "Well, we're from Canada." "Great. Hey." And got their names, and I said, Are you visiting for a first time today?" "Yes." I said, "Well, what brought you our way?" And one of the ladies says, "Well, my mom comes to church here." And I said, "Well, who's your mom?" "She told me." And I said, "I love your mom. She teaches our Sunday school. She's dedicated. She's devoted. And your mom is the most lovingest person." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what." I said, "I hope you ladies enjoy the service today." And I said, "If you have any questions, feel free to ask me after service or now, whatever." I said, "We have a visitor's card right there on the back of the pew. Please fill that out and drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, because we'd like to, you know, have a record of your visit." And I said, "I want you all to know that in this church, you're loved today, and we're so thankful that you came today." And they smiled the biggest smile and shook my hand. And I turned around. I walked right back up that aisle. And there was Bill like this. He was looking through that window. Had his head. Looked like a kid at the candy store, you know. And I went back through there and Bill said, "Well?" I said, "Well, what?" He said, "They're not leaving." I said, "They're not going to, Bill." He goes, "Why?" I said, "Bill, who is this house for?" He said, "Then my wife and I will leave." I said, "There's the door." I said, "Bill, one thing is anybody is welcome in this house. Anybody is welcome in this house. I don't care where they come from. This is the Lord's will that we reach out and love people." And he said, "Well, you won't have a piano player anymore when we're gone." I said, "Oh, God will take care of that." Sunday night rolled around. Those two ladies, by the way, come back Sunday night and visited again. And I was standing by the front door greeting people as they come in. And this woman that I didn't see Sunday morning came in with her husband and kids. And she said, "Are you Brother Jim Cooper, the new pastor?" "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, I want you to know that I have a business here in town." And she said, "Are you by chance looking for a piano player?" Because she said, "I heard the church didn't have a piano player, somebody that was really..." I said, "Yeah, we're looking for a piano player." She says, "Could I start tonight?" I said, "Sure." I said, "You know, the benefits of it are you're blessed by the Lord." She said, "That's good for me." And that woman got in that piano bench at night and she started playing. And I'm telling you what, the most beautiful sound come out of that keyboard. See, when we do things God's way, things happen. And lastly, 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So remember, revival comes from God. And we as a church, we should be seeking revival. We should be seeking revival not to appease the people. We should be seeking revival to please the Lord. Because we want God to move in His way. We want God to do things how He's got them lined out. See, there's a great revival goes on in heaven all the time. There's always rejoicing. If there's rejoicing constantly in heaven and they're singing and praising God, then that's exactly what we should be doing down here. We should choose to be happy. We should be choosing to worship. We should be choosing to sing and witness. So remember, revival doesn't just happen here in God's house. Revival happens here in the heart. And it all takes us saying, "God, I need you. I need revival in my life. And, you know, I told the Lord this week, for whatever reason, you needed my mama. It's all right. I miss her. Boy, do I miss her. But the other day, when I sat in that room with her body laying in that bed, the Holy Spirit said to me, your mom's alive. That is the old house she used to live in. And all of a sudden, I just pictured my mom. I told you how my mom loved to sing those gospel hymns. And all at once, I pictured my mom standing before the Lord, just singing and worshiping. And I thought, that's what we need here in our churches. Revival. So we need to ask, Lord, will you revive us? And He will, but we've got to open our hearts and let Him do it. Say, Lord, let it start with me. And that's the declaration I'm going to make this morning. Lord, let revival start with Jim Cooper. And I pray that it will spread to the lives and hearts of those around me because I love them and I care about them. What about you, friends, church family? What about you?